Good morning. Welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. That portion of God's Word that we shall read and consider this morning, the Holy Spirit has caused to be recorded in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 25, where we read as follows in Jesus' name. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Let us pray. These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Every Christian is a sheep of the Good Shepherd. The sheep of the Good Shepherd are those who listen to his voice and follow him. He knows them. They belong to him. They are precious to him. He lays down his life for them. Nobody but Jesus can care for his sheep. Other religious authorities use the sheep for their own benefit. They fleece them, butcher them, and sell them. Organized religion is one of the biggest and most successful cons in this world. There's a sucker born every minute, and there's always an unscrupulous con artist ready to take advantage of foolish sheep. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He gives his life for the sheep. He protects the sheep from deadly predators. He knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. The Christian church is the sheep who hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. This is a beautiful picture, is it not? It sounds very gentle, warm, inviting, comforting. Why is the Good Shepherd theme so popular? Think of all the artwork devoted to depicting Jesus as the Good Shepherd. Why is Psalm 23 such a popular psalm? There's something very tender and gentle in this picture of our Savior Jesus. But this does not mean that the life of a sheep, of the Good Shepherd, is a life without pain, suffering, and troubles. It was to St. Peter in particular that Jesus, after his death and resurrection, said, "Feed my sheep." And St. Peter wrote to Christians who were suffering persecution. Just a couple of words about St. Peter. Last week in the sermon, I quoted from Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus says to Peter, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom." And then in St. John's Gospel, chapter 21, Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." And this is why Peter has been regarded as the leader of the apostles, the first among equals. Now, we don't have time this morning to talk about how this developed in the church. Suffice it to say that those who claimed that Peter was the first bishop of Rome, and then later claimed that Jesus had given him primacy over all the pastors in the church, have developed over many hundreds of years the teaching that the Roman papacy is the seat of St. Peter and that it governs the Holy Christian Church on earth. There's no biblical basis for that teaching. Peter is a pastor, and he is an apostle, and he is writing to Christians of all ages, especially to Christians who are facing persecution. Now, in our text, he's talking about working men. He calls them servants. Servants who often suffer under the abusive power of their bosses. Servants who are treated unfairly. And Peter tells them to tolerate, to endure, to bear up under that unfair treatment without issuing threats. Now, we all have a sense of justice. We talk about the natural knowledge of the law because the conscience itself bears witness, as St. Paul says in Romans 2, that there is a right and there is a wrong, but that sense of right and wrong becomes particularly acute when we are the ones who are being personally mistreated. Then we see so clearly what is right and what is fair. And then we also see, but we don't get it. It cannot be had by us. And so we get angry, we get frustrated, and we start feeling sorry for ourselves because life is not fair. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus, your good shepherd. Look to Jesus who takes care of you. Look to Jesus who rescues you from your own sins and follow his example. What's beautiful about the words before us today is that as St. Peter begins by talking of Jesus as our example, who committed no sin, nor was guile found in his mouth, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return, when he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. He begins by following the example of Jesus, but Peter cannot help but write what Jesus did to save us. He goes on to say, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. In following the example of him, we are following the example of what Jesus did to rescue us from our sins. First, he spoke nothing wrong. He didn't insult or threaten, but entrusted to him who judges justly. Here's the point. You don't see justice. Jesus couldn't see the justice, but he entrusted himself to God who judges justly. You don't see justice in your life. Does God provide justice, you ask? What did Jesus say to Thomas? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. You believe in a just God, whether you see the justice or not. The worst miscarriage of justice in the history of the world was this innocent man, this holy man, found guilty on the basis of lie after lie, malicious lies. And he says nothing. He meekly submits. This is wrong. He is innocent. They are evil, and they have the power over him. This is wrong. He should have the power over them. My goodness, he is God. He's pure. He is innocent, and they have all the power. Well, that's what you see. That's what you think. But look at what appears to be weakness and see what is happening underneath this appearance of injustice. What's going on? He is bearing our sins in his body. He is taking upon himself our guilt, our debt, all of our sins of thought, word, and deed. He is paying for it by suffering for it, and thus he is setting us free from it, taking it off of us. Look and see, his stripes heal us. His suffering is our gain. And now we can live a righteous life. Might live for righteousness, it says here in our text. Having died to sin, might live for righteousness. We can live a righteous life because God has justified us, forgiven us, set free from our sins, has done this for the sake of Christ bearing our sins in his own body on the tree. Life looks unfair. At times it looks like a waste, a tragic waste. But look and see who's in charge, the shepherd and bishop of our souls. Now, people in the history of the church have come up with all sorts of fine distinctions, and they've developed doctrine beyond what the Bible says. When the text says shepherd and bishop of our souls, clearly St. Peter is identifying the office of shepherd and the office of bishop. Now, the word shepherd or pastor refers to the one who feeds the sheep. The word bishop simply means an overseer, somebody who watches over the sheep. According to St. Peter here in our text, this is the same office. It's the same duty. It's the same work. The sheep are fed. The sheep are watched. By whom? By Jesus. Now, the church has invented a difference between pastor and bishop, but the Bible knows no difference between a pastor and a bishop. The pastor and the bishop is the same person, and if he is a true pastor, a true bishop, he will speak always and only for Christ, because Christ is the shepherd and bishop of our souls. There is no other authority of the church than that of the good shepherd. It is his words, not the words of men, that we listen to, because the words of men will mislead us. Sheep that go astray are sheep that leave behind the voice of the good shepherd and end up trusting in their own power, their own circumstances. They see that they have money, they have health, they have power, they have status. We're doing great, but you're not doing great. How safe are you? If your confidence is in the things that you see, the fairness of your circumstances, what have you got? When you are in the care of Jesus, then you can submit to whatever unfair authority goads you, because you have Christ, who has power over all the evil that taunts you. You are righteous before God, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And this is the life God gave you to live. God's the one who decides what is righteous and just, not the world. And God makes you his sheep. He gives you your worth. He gives you your status. Don't judge by what the world sees. Don't judge by what your heart feels. But when you face mistreatment, consider who is caring for you. Consider whose blood was shed for you. Consider who it is who justifies you. Who recognizes you? Who claims you? Who owns you? He's the one who died for you. You don't have to fight every battle. You have him who has borne your sins in his body on the tree. That's where your battle was won. He won. You won with him. That is the promise that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, gives to his sheep. Amen. We thank you for being our guests today on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. We have services at St. John Lutheran Church in Fairview every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, Trinity Lutheran Church in Sydney Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Tune in next week for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.